Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I am going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We are so glad that you took out time out of your busy schedule to join us this evening. And my understanding is that there are a number of you all that are listening live. That's right, there's a number of you all that are listening live by way of the internet. And you can certainly do that, or if you choose to call in, the number is 347-857-1769. Once again, the call-in number is 347-857-1769. We'll repeat it one more time for now, 347-857-1769. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. I'm going to be here with you. We will probably spend a great deal of the evening online just basically reiterating tonight's story. So I may go kind of solo, but if you do want to talk with the host at any point in time, if you want to speak to the comment that's made by the show host, press 1. And you want to press 1, get in by calling in early enough so that you can press 1. And be able to tune in so that you can hear the show live and then that you get your spot in the queue so that you can call in. Tonight we're going to be talking about a very delicate subject matter, and that's on cheating. We're going to be talking tonight about cheating. And the question becomes, the statement, why cheating seems to be so, why cheating seems so deceptively good. Why cheating seems so deceptively good. And this is only part one. We're going to do a two-part series on this. It may or may not be back-to-back. But nevertheless, it will be a two-part series. Why cheating seems so significantly good. Well, you know, Let's examine the word cheating. Sometimes people cheat on an exam to advance themselves. Is it right? You know, it becomes a question of is it right? We've been taught that it's wrong. People may cheat by skipping, you know, a line with other people, and somebody's not looking, and somebody cuts in front of them in terms of at the grocery store. Is it right? We've been taught, once again, that it's morally wrong to cheat. Somebody may cheat when it comes to taking something out of the store. Wrong. We've been taught that it's morally wrong. Somebody may cheat in a number of ways. You know, we have to ask ourselves the question, is it right? Is it really right for people to actually go in and cheat and deprive someone else of something? So I want you to take a look at the word cheating and see what that means. And my interpretation may be simply a little different than what you may come across, but I think if you look at a definition, I think that we'll come to some terms, some common term that somebody is going to be deprived of something. Someone is going to likely be withheld from something that perhaps is associated with them or that rightfully so belongs to them. Somebody is going to get shortchanged in some way or other. So when we look at cheating, cheating does not necessarily have a great thing associated with it, because when you think of cheating, you think pretty much of all the negative connotations that are associated with it. And so no one wants to be associated with cheating. And so it's like somebody might cheat in a game, in a sport. And, you know, it's so interesting when you watch little kids play sports. Let's say, for example, kickball. Something as seemingly as simple as kickball, a kid can call somebody else out and they're saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, you're cheating. You know, you're actually cheating. And so it makes them feel uncomfortable when someone cheats, and no one wants to be accused of cheating. So what they do, they actually go in and what they will defend themselves and say, no, I wasn't. And oftentimes the person perhaps did cheat, and these little kids. So it can start early on in life, and kids for some reason. So where does it come from? Where does cheating, the notion, the act of cheating, and, you know, and whatever we define it to be, it's depriving someone of something or other. It's doing something that we may have come to terms on that is perhaps morally wrong. And I throw the word perhaps out there because some people may not see cheating as wrong because they may have been doing it for so long that they feel like this is acceptable. This is acceptable. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769, 347-857-1769. If at any point in time you want to get in the queue to talk to the host, you simply press 1 so that you'll be in queue to be able to speak to the host, and you can talk to the issue of tonight's story. We're going to be presenting the story in about 3 or 4 minutes, so we're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go to the phone lines and see who do we have joining us this evening, and maybe they can give their definition of cheating. We're going to go to 305-300. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome. 305-300. Who do we have with us? Okay. Well, perhaps they just want to stand by and listen for a little bit longer. Again, cheating. Cheating, to give a definition of cheating, you know, one might say, well, okay, cheating. I cheated on a test in school. I cheated by telling my girlfriend or my boyfriend that I was going to somebody else's house. And I didn't go there because I went to see somebody else. And so that becomes quite interesting because that type of cheating is what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're not talking about cheating on a test. We're not talking about cheating in a sport. But tonight we're going to be talking pretty much clearly about cheating in your relationship. And again, this is only part one. Again, this is only part one. And I think you're going to find this quite interesting because we're going to be, in about the next minute and a half, presenting a storyline. So you don't want to miss this. You definitely don't want to miss this. And we'll go to 305-300. You can come on at any point in time live. We have you scheduled to come in. All right, let's take a look at, and also we welcome you all to send in your comments. That's a very important thing, to send in your comments about cheating. If it's personally happened to you, if you want to put it out there, because whatever you put out there is likely to also help someone else. So don't feel bad that you might be doing this. Just feel that, you know what, maybe it didn't work for me or maybe it did work for me. So you're putting it out there by sending in a comment or something to that regard. So that's always an interesting thing to do when we have a deer. Why cheating seems so deceptively good? All right, let's go to tonight's story. Our characters in tonight's story, you're going to find them to be quite interesting. Beth, Carl, and actually there's four characters. Beth, Carl, David, and Edith. We have four characters in tonight's story. We have Beth, Carl, David, and Edith. You definitely want to listen to tonight's story. All right, Beth and Carl have been married just over 3 years, and they have no children. This is Beth and Carl now. The marriage has been extremely difficult. It has now been 3 weeks since Beth and Carl even spoke to each other, except for the daily formalities. This couple has gone 3 weeks without even speaking to each other. David, a very handsome, okay, now Beth is married to Carl, but David, a very handsome and charming new coworker on Beth's job, is the talk of the company because he's tall and he's remarkably handsome. Know anybody like that? All right, so here we go. In fact, the ladies are so infatuated by his charm, they go home. The ladies are so infatuated by this guy's charm that they go home and become intimate with their husbands or significant other, and they're actually thinking about David. That's amazing. Beth realizes the other women, including herself, is very much interested in getting romantically acquainted with him. All right? She begins her web of weaving, and David takes the bite again for a second woman on the same job. So in other words, David's been doing this. David, unfortunately, has been doing this, and this is not the first woman. Beth is not the first woman. In fact, he has another woman on the job that he's involved with as well. David is also, there's a twist to this story, because David is also married, and he leads his wife to believe he's always traveling for company business when he's not home, which is most of the time. Beth has started using the same lines to call her husband. So Beth now is picking up on this, and she's telling her husband that she has to take business trips, and she goes out of town, and, of course, she's having a rendezvous with David. Now, after 6 months of this, Beth and David are now so much in love as it is obvious, even on the job. Somehow, they find time to get together at least twice a week to do their intimate business, while poor Carl has been left to freeze for the past 6 months with absolutely no action in the bedroom from Beth. Now, this affair has been going on for 6 months between David and Carl. In fact, she has started treating Carl like he's a stranger. Beth has asked David to leave his wife. Now, this is a big twist. You will definitely not want to miss this. Beth has begun to ask Carl to leave his wife so they could stop the hiding. David, in the passion of the moment, agrees that he will do so after she tells her husband. Now, they claim to make their plans and wait for the right time. The time, we're almost concluding the story now. The time has come when Carl suspects something is going on. He confronts Beth, and she finally comes clean and tells him the truth, that she has been, in fact, seeing someone else and wants a divorce. Beth has come clean now. Carl is devastated and begins to ask a million questions, and Beth is only willing to respond with an attitude that she does not love him anymore and she wants out of the marriage. Now, after Carl's begging and pleading, Beth, after his pleading and begging, Beth is still not moved with any compassion for him, and she insists that she's moving out, in fact, immediately. It's been 3 months now, and Carl and Beth are finally divorced. Beth is so excited that she can't wait for David to finally divorce his wife so the two of them can be together forever, she plans. Beth has been putting extreme pressure on David and wondering why he has not divorced his wife for her. David insists the time is not right yet. It's now 6 months of this, and Beth is getting frustrated, and she's also feeling lonely because David is not visiting her as much anymore. To her surprise, now you really want to get this, to her surprise, that's the best surprise, Beth has just found out that David has been seeing Edith, who also happens to be Beth's Beth's friend on the job. Beth is torn with disbelief and confronts both of them on the job, which caused a big scene. The scene was of such that management decided to terminate Beth at the end of the week. Just when you thought it could not get worse, Beth begins stalking David and Edith and finds out 6 weeks later that she's pregnant. Beth is now pregnant. She's lost her job. Her and her husband, Carl, are divorced. She's stalking David and Edith. And we're going to ask you to stay tuned for a bigger twist next week in part two. But the question that we start out with tonight, this is the major question that we start out with tonight. Can you really help who you love? Can you really help who you love? And we're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to begin by with 305-300. Welcome, and who do we have on the air tonight? Oh, wait a minute. That's my fault. Okay, let's try it again. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 305-300. Who do we have on the air tonight?
Hi, good evening. It's Elizabeth. How are you?
Hi, Elizabeth. Thank you for joining us, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, tell us, here live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, tell us what you think. Can a person really help who they love?
I believe they can. I believe they really can help who they love.
Okay. In this case, with Beth and Carl being husband and wife, do you think that Beth cheating on her husband is the reason why, by falling in love with David, the guy who she cheated with, do you think that this really led to her divorce, or did she really just fall out of love with him anyway?
She was probably confused, tied up between one and the other.
Right.
She probably thought that she was going to feel that excitement, like, all the time, like that cheating excitement, that thrill, that adrenaline. And
right.
She probably felt that it was going to be like a honeymoon all the time. So she says,
right.
Okay, I'm not going to be with that old love. I want this new love. And just thinking that she was going to feel that all the time, which is not, it's not like that.
Okay. Then how is it, Elizabeth? Why don't you tell us how it is, how you think it is? And I tend to agree with you that people cheat because there's an adrenaline rush, it's exciting, and you're thinking it's going to be that way all the time. But why isn't it? Why can't it be that way all the time? Why can't it be that way?
Because then once you start getting comfortable with that person, it's like then you sit back and you start thinking and you be like, wow, was all this really worth it? Like, was it really that bad with my husband, you know, like with my other, you know, partner? Was it really that bad? It's like you start thinking and you be like, did I make the right decision? Did I do the right thing? And then it's like it's kind of too late.
It is. You're right.
It is too late
at this point in time.
Yeah.
You're right. It does become too late at that time. Well, what do you think, I mean, now that she's lost her job, what do you think needs to happen? Should she try to go back after her husband whom she divorced?
Then that would totally, did she marry the new guy or no?
Oh, no, she didn't marry a new guy. In fact, he's not even seeing her that much. He's seeing her best friend that worked on the job with them, Edith. David is now seeing Edith. And remember, David is also married. And if, should now that Beth has apparently lost David as well, should she try to go and pick up with her husband again, whom she divorced?
She divorced him.
She divorced her husband.
Yeah.
We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second, Elizabeth. If you want to speak to the host tonight, you can press 1. Go to 34. You can also listen in at drjesswalker.com or drjesswalkerinc.com. 347-857-1769. Tonight's topic is why cheating seems so deceptively good. Why it seems so deceptively good, and we use the word deceptively for a very specific reason. Now, if you think that you want to give a definition of cheating, press 1, and then we'll hear your definition of what you identify cheating to be. Elizabeth, let me ask you before we lose you, how do you define cheating? What does cheating mean to you?
I think cheating is like very, what do I say? It's very, it's just not right, especially in God's eyes. You know, it's like you're lying. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to God. You think you're lying to God, but you're not. You're lying to yourself. It's like, don't do to others what you don't want done to you. Don't do to others what you don't want done to you. It's like.
Okay. My definition, I'm cheating. Again, I gave it at the top of the hour. It's depriving someone of perhaps is associated with them. So in this case, and we welcome other comments out there, if you want to talk to those, you have to press 1 on your dial. If you don't press 1, we're not able to come to you. We're going to ask you to stand by, Elizabeth. Let's go to 954-106. Welcome to the Dr. Jess Walk Show. You're on the air live. Who do we have?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us. Can you hear us clearly, Rose?
Yes, I can.
Okay, Rose, in the tonight's story, I mean, this is a heartbreaking situation here because you've got Beth, who called, obviously, her husband was very much in love with her, and here it is, she cheated with a guy on the job that, the guy was very good looking, I mean, remarkably handsome, the story tells us, and he was a ladies' man, and Beth, feeling the competition from the other women, she fell and began her weaving, and he fell for the bait, which was what he wanted to do anyway. Do you think that, and now ultimately, the cheating was exposed because she confessed to her husband, Carl, and she gave him attitude and wanted a divorce, and ultimately it happened. But the question is, can you help who you love? I mean, can somebody help it because they cheat? I mean, it just doesn't mean to, they don't mean for it to happen, but it happens.
Okay. I do believe you can help who you love because, in my opinion, you don't fall in love immediately. Now, if you go by feelings, if you think that love is just a feeling, then I suppose you would think you cannot help who you love. But if you think love is a commitment, something you grow into and you're committed to, then you definitely can help, in my opinion, who you love. So to me, I'm not going to fall. I have never, and I don't see myself falling in love overnight because I cannot love someone in that way that I really don't know. And it takes a little while to know the person. So I believe you can help who you love.
Okay, well, Rose, I'm thinking that, I mean, if that's the case, it's almost like a person can actually, based on what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, that almost sounds like anybody can meet anyone and you don't have any feelings for them. So you can be cold or hot at any point in time. You can flip that switch on at any point in time because for you, if I'm understanding this correctly, love is not a feeling, and I don't know people who don't really fall in love or become in love, if you want to put it a different way, without having some feelings towards that person. Somebody help me out there with this. Press 1 and give us your thoughts on this. So, Rose, how is it not a feeling?
It's not just a feeling. Yes, feelings play some part, but feelings is not everything. So initially you might see someone like she did, and you became attracted to the person, but you can't love the person right away. You don't know that person. But as time goes by and you spend time with this person and you get to learn this person's personality and this person's ways, you begin to grow in love with this person. So it's not a switch that you clip on and off. If love is just a feeling, then that to me is a switch that you can click on and off, because today I wake up and I don't feel you. I don't feel like I'm liking you today. So I'm turning the switch off. But if it's a commitment and if it's something I grow into, then I can't just turn it off no matter what that person is doing. No matter the fact that I'm not liking this person today, I'm still loving this person because I love the person for who he or she is, not just merely a feeling that I feel today and not feel tomorrow. That's my concept of loving someone. So,
but it doesn't sound
someone,
like you're in love with that person. That doesn't sound like I just kind of see that kind of relationship.
Okay, so two different things to me. Okay, so the feeling section is the in love, the lust, the in love part. That's
yeah.
the feeling. Okay, so yes, you can feel sexual towards that person. It doesn't mean that you love that person. And I think that is why someone can sleep with someone without loving them, because they just have that feeling right now, today. They are feeling for this person. So they go and they sleep with that person, and 2 weeks later they realize, you know what, that was just a mistake.
Okay, so in the case of the story tonight, with David and Beth, the two of them that found themselves sleeping together, both being married and David being a ladies' man, I can see where he probably didn't have that in-love feeling for any of these ladies, probably not even his wife, because, he was going around. Huh? Pardon me? Go ahead.
He was in lust with them. He was just going by his feelings.
Okay, well, yeah, his feelings of, of intimacy, but so in this case, couldn't it be that this just happened with David and Beth? So could they have helped that? Because, like you said earlier, if a person, spends time, they may fall in love with the person. They may start to love that person. And so now, why is it any different? Elizabeth, we're going to come back to you in a moment. Why is it any different in this case that David and Beth were co-workers that obviously spent some time, and they became attached to each other, and intimacy took place. The cheating took place.
But the thing is, Beth, she's married. She's supposed to be committed to her husband. Yes, if she spends enough time with him, giving him the time of day, and getting to know him, and becoming attracted and loving him, it's going to happen. But the thing about it is that because she's committed to her husband, she would choose not to let it go that route, meaning she would not spend all this time with David, and she would not try to learn him, his personality and his likes and dislikes. So it would not go that far. This is how you can help who you love. If you're not going to spend the time to get to know this person, you're not going to start loving that person. So this is where she went wrong, in my opinion, by spending too much time with him. The Bible tells us that sin starts in the mind. So when he's cute and like it, right there in the mind, so she needs to shun that. She needed to stay away from him because she know now that it could be that she has a weakness in that area. So now she does not give it time to grow. She needed to stay away from this man so that she wouldn't give love time to grow.
But don't you think, Rose, there is a likelihood that and Elizabeth's going to pose the same question to you, the likelihood by her, you see all these other ladies that were surrounding David, they like him, and she has a good opportunity to be intimate with this man. I mean, that competition out there, and she's like, I become the winner if I can get him. You know, don't you think that even if she tries hard, you know, at some point she gets mad with her husband, Carl. Is it likely that that woman is going to, you know, take the bait and say, you know what, this man on the job likes me. He compliments me with what I wear. He compliments me how I look. He notices my fingernails are done. He notices me when my husband doesn't even pay attention to me, it seems. This man recognizes any change that I make, and he's always complimenting. Is it likely now that when she tries to withdraw, she starts to miss these things when she knew all along that he was being flirtatious with her? Wouldn't she miss this, Rose?
Dr. Walker, that's a decision that she's making to put herself in the position to be close to this man. She knows that she's married. I'm sorry, I have no sympathy for that. She knows she's married. She needs to put this man in his place the very first time he started flirting with her. She should not give that any time to grow. The fact that that's what the devil does. He gives a little window, and when you open it a little bit, then it's going to come in. No, I'm sorry. Her commitment was to her husband. Okay, so the minute this man on the job started flirting with her, she needed to stop that right away and let him know, with all due respect, listen, I'm married. I do not appreciate what you're saying to me. Please don't do that. And so she made a decision now to compete with the other ladies because she wanted to. That's a decision she made.
Rose, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second.
It was definitely willful. She could have helped it.
Right. Rose, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. Elizabeth, stand by. Let's go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go 305-733. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the air, and welcome?
Hello, Dr. Walker. How are you? Stephanie,
I'm doing.
How are you?
Who do we have with us this evening?
You have Stephanie.
Stephanie, thank you for joining us. Stephanie, can you help us make sense out of cheating? I mean, I'm thinking that these two on the job, they just fell in love. It just happened, so to speak. And the question is, can you help who you love? And the other one is, like Rose said, the Beth should have been committed to her husband. But how do you resist a charming man like that or a beautiful woman?
How do you resist?
Yes. A man that's remarkably handsome, or a woman that, for a man, a woman that's drop-dead gorgeous, how do you resist that? I mean, we're talking like temptation here.
Right. Well, how do you resist? Well, I have to agree with Rose in a way. You have to resist temptation, period. I'm not saying that these things don't happen and that you don't your question actually is, repeat your question.
How do you resist a man who's remarkably handsome and he has that charm, and then your husband may not even, you know, I'll throw it out there a little bit more. Your husband may not be as attractive, and all the ladies are making a fuss about this man, and they're actually, in fact, going home and being intimate with their significant others, a boyfriend or girlfriend, and they're thinking about this man. So how do you resist that? And you know, now you got this competition of these ladies liking this man, and then you have a good opportunity to be intimate with him. Are you going to give that up, resist that?
Well, I guess it depends on how and where you are in your relationship. I'm not saying that it's right. I agree with everything that Rose said, but, you know, I know, and she's right about what the Bible says, but we're also human. And if you are a woman that's in a relationship when your husband is not paying you any attention at all, or if he's mistreating you, or he's not taking you serious in the relationship, I guess no matter whatever has happened, I guess sometimes you do fall into that trap where you start looking at other men. You start or other women and start seeing something attractive about that person. And whatever that person may say to you may, you know, eventually spark some kind of fire in you. And it just
right.
happens. And, you know, and I agree, Rose, with you wholeheartedly, but we also are human. And then we also get ourselves in, we are also vulnerable at the same time. And I feel like when you're being neglected by your spouse, you will tend to turn to someone else.
See, now the truth.
I'm not saying
it's
right. I'm not saying it's
right. Right, right, right. And now, see, some, you know, we have theory and then we have practicality.
Practical.
And
yeah.
You do have some people that are going to stay the course of maintaining their innocence and commitment. But now, Stephanie, we can use that excuse to say, well, we're all human. And that's what I was saying earlier,
right.
that some people don't mean for it to happen. But how can you not mean for it to happen when you, and I kind of lean with Rose, too, saying, when you put yourself in there at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and if we do Bible on this here, it's the same thing with Adam and Eve. The minute that that serpent was starting to go contrary
mm-hmm.
to the directions, the directives that they already had, that's when you're
mm-hmm.
allowing yourself, because you gave them time. And I think that's the point that Rose was trying to make, and we're going to bring her back in momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to hear from the rest of you all. But my question is, how do you avoid this here? I mean, that man is gorgeous, and all these women are talking about that. You know, so hold on a second, Stephanie. We're going to go to the phone lines once again. Let's go back to Elizabeth. But how can you resist a gorgeous man that all the women are talking about?
Well, like she says, it depends, like, how serious I am, like, in my own relationship.
Right.
It's like, who really wants to be? Like, it depends, like, I don't know. It depends, like, on the mindset that person has, too. Because it's like, who really wants to be with a person that everybody wants to be with, and that, oh, my God, he's so cute and stuff like that. It's like, you really got to think about that. I'll be
so,
like,
Elizabeth, are you telling me that you wouldn't want to be with a guy that's gorgeous? I mean, Elizabeth, come on now. You wouldn't want to be the guy,
you know
why? Is it too much competition for you? What are you telling me, Elizabeth?
The thing is that most of the guys that are gorgeous, drop dead gorgeous and stuff like that, they play around too much. They play
okay.
around. Because they know they're cute. They know they got it like that. So
okay.
it's like, oh, I can have, whoever I want, you know?
Right.
It's like,
right.
No. Yeah.
Would that make you insecure, Elizabeth? Would that make you insecure if you know, you have him and his attitude is like that?
Not insecure. It's just like, I wouldn't want to be with someone that's just so handsome, like really cute, like all the women want to be with him. It's just no. It's not that I'm
okay.
insecure.
All right,
no.
Elizabeth, we're gonna ask you to stand by. Let's go back to Rose. Rose, how about you? How do you feel? Would you want to be with a guy that's just drop dead gorgeous and all the women want him, and he has that attitude that he can have any woman, like in this case, David's case?
Okay. I would not have a problem being with a man that is so handsome that all the females want him. That's fine. But I would not be with a man who is so handsome and he wants to play around. I wouldn't want, and I wouldn't be involved with. If he is so handsome and he feels like he could get all the females and he's a player, no, he can stay. All the other women can have him. I don't care. Okay, I'm not after him because he's gorgeous. But if he's handsome and he's not the type to play around and he doesn't care about these women who are running after him, then that's different. I could
okay.
be with him.
All right, Rose, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. We're going to go to phone lines once again. Let's go. Stephanie, we're going to ask you to stand by. Elizabeth as well. Let's go to phone lines once again. We're going to go to all the way to Tampa, 863-412. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Yes. Mr. X.
Mr. X, thank you for joining us, Mr. X. Mr. X, what do you think? I mean, you think these women are actually being honest? I mean, I've heard different things that they're saying. Elizabeth is saying that, you know, she wouldn't really want to be with a guy that wants all of these guys. Rose is saying, you know, I have no problem being with the guy if the women are having it, but if he's going to play around, she doesn't want him. Stephanie's, you know, kind of bringing it to that, you know, the guy, you know, things happen. Things just happen. We are human, she says. What do you think, Mr. X?
Well, Dr. Walker, I am one of those good-looking men that women kind of come after. And some of the comments that these women have made they're being very honest. That's what my feelings are. I've been chased by a lot of women.
Okay.
But when I was younger and I was in school, I had a habit of complimenting women on different things about them. And I was told by some of my friends that they were talking about boycotting me because I flirt so much with so many different women.
Right.
I wasn't doing it to be sexual, but to be friendly, to
right.
give an honest opinion. If a woman looks nice, I'm going to tell them they look nice. If they build nice, I'm going to tell them that. They got a nice dress on. Yes, I recognize things about women. And
right.
So, but I was not chasing them or trying to be flirtatious with them, but just complimenting them. So cheating, what the this topic is, why does it feel so good?
Yeah.
There are so many people that, like, they jump out of airplanes with a parachute. They say they're cheating death. They do so many different things that they are cheating death and trying to get an excitement, a rise. In this situation that you had this evening, it got out of hand. And so it's been just more of a friendly type of thing, then it got out of hand. And if both of them are married, and so both of them had a commitment to their spouse. So if you see yourself getting close, you need to back up. I think Rose was talking about what the Bible said. And
right.
and if the Bible says not to do it, don't do it. Don't let yourself get caught up in looks. And when you got if you have a relationship at home that you've been in, be honest with yourself and with them and keep yourself out of that type of situation.
Okay, Mr. Ash, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. It sounds like you're favoring pretty much what Rose was saying. Let's go to phone lines once again. And Stephanie, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to New York on this one here, 917-399. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us this evening, Angela. You know, it's not an easy topic to deal with, but it does happen. Cheating happens. And, you know, I've heard various views on here. As a matter of fact, Mr. X is one of those men who's apparently he's presenting himself as saying he's one of those men that a lot of women have, you know, been interested in because he's a gorgeous man. You know, he's mentioned that. So, I mean, I see women want to admire men who look good all the time. So is it true you think that women can actually resist?
Yes, I think women can. The stronger women, yes. And I don't know why you know, the last caller keeps saying, if God says don't do it, don't do it. And I still haven't found one person who's talked to God and God told them not to get with a person, because people are making choices themselves to get in relationship with other people and to marry other people. And they're saying God brought them together, but I don't believe that they're really talking to God about that. So, yes,
so
when, there are
talking.
Some strong women out here.
Right?
Hmm?
Who are they talking
I'm
to
sorry,
that, that's telling them this stuff?
They're talking to themselves. I work out everything in my head.
Okay, so where is God? Are they just putting God in for themselves, or what are they doing?
No, they're using God after their relationship failed. Because in the beginning of the marriage, they said that God brought them together. And then at the end, they're saying that God told them that this wasn't the right person for them.
Okay. All right, we're going to
ask
you.
I'm a little confused, but people keep saying that God asked God. What are you asking them for? I think people are making the decisions themselves, and then they're using God as a cop-out.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. Tonight we're talking about why cheating seems so deceptively good. Angela, I got to come back to you just for a second. You know, have you known anyone that's ever cheated in their relationship and they told you how exciting it was? Angela? Okay, let's take that story to, let's go to Stephanie on that one.
Walk after you took another caller.
No. Angela, we presented that one to you, then we'll go to Stephanie next on the same question. But Angela, let's begin with you. Have you known anyone that actually was cheating in their relationship, and they were telling you how, girl, this man is everything and more, or the girl is everything and more? Have you ever known anyone?
Yes, because people lust other people.
Okay.
And other people, I think after being with the person for so long, you find out that that person isn't compatible to you. And that's why they're out there cheating and doing the things they're doing, because their spouse isn't doing the things that they want. And a lot of people aren't honest in their relationships. They don't want to tell their spouse that they sex up. Or, I'm sorry to be blunt like that, but it's the truth. There's a lot of people out here that's faking the funk, and they're making their man feel good about himself because they don't want to mess with his ego or his self-esteem, and they're faking the funk in the bed or in their relationship.
Wow. Okay. All right. Hold on a second, Angela. We're going to go to let's bring Stephanie in now. Stephanie, give us your thoughts. What say ye on this here? Then we're going to go back to Mr. X.
Okay. Well, yeah, I agree with the young lady from New York about people are not honest in their relationships, and that they stay in them because of, for whatever reason, marriage or whatever. And oftentimes we do. That's a lot of the reason why people do cheat, too, because they're really not happy and honest in a relationship. So, I'm not saying that that's an excuse for why people do what they do. But a lot of times, what do you do? What do you do? Do you pray about it and ask God to take you out of the relationship? I mean, what do you do, Dr. Walker, if you are not happy in a relationship? Before you go cheat, what do you do? Do you cheat?
Well, it's interesting. You know, it's interesting.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What do you do?
Go ahead.
What's your answer for that? I mean, do
people
be miserable, or do they find happiness outside? I mean, I would like to know not only for the show, but for myself.
Okay. My thought is cheating always seems interesting, exciting. And next week I'm going to give some food on this here, because we're going to do part two next week. The producers are letting me know now. But now I will tell you, in my food for thought, we're going to reiterate some of what I'm going to say tonight. The reason why cheating seems so deceptive good, and I'm glad you asked, because you don't, you're seeing each other. The parties that are cheating are seeing each other basically at their best. He's seeing her with her hairdo done. I mean, it looks gorgeous.
Right.
But he's seeing her when she wakes up early in the morning. And I'm going to answer your question, too. He's not seeing her when she wakes up in the morning, and she's not seeing him when he wakes up in the morning. And that stuff that you see on television where they're kissing first thing they wake up in the morning, that's not necessarily a reality, because the night's sleep and the breaths are not just, you know, altogether fresh like that. And you want somebody to go freshen up before all of that begins to really take place. So what's presented on television is actually theory, and it's not a reality of how things happen in life. And people get caught up into fantasy of what they think. And I think Rose and others may have said on tonight's show, it's an endless feeling. But what do you do? What do you do if you're not happy at home, whether that's a marriage or relationship? And I tend to agree with some of the stuff that Angela might be inferring, that some people say that they talked to God and God told them if it's working, God told them to get together. If it's, when it stops working, then God told them to get out. I can't see God being indecisive like that. That makes it seem like God is wishy-washy. Because if you prayed for that relationship from the beginning, then that relationship would be lasting. Now, we do have free will. But if you're not happy at home, before you start to venture out and seeking happiness outside, which is a fantasy because you're not, you're only presenting your best and receiving their best initially. But ultimately, if you got with those people, you're going to fall right back into the situation where you have with the current significant other that you have, which means now you're spending time, there's no cheating, and it comes down, the novelty of the relationship begins to wear off in a lot of cases. Not all, but in a lot of cases. Before you venture out there, you need to cut ties with that relationship. If you can't work it out through your own decision, mindset of both parties, because it takes two to tangle. If you can't work it out with the two parties, and that might include getting counseling, just as much counseling as you can, and before you go out there to seek happiness in a fantasy world, you're going to only find yourself getting caught up into a deception of lies that are perpetuated forever and ever and ever. And all that's going to do is open up a can of worms that you may never be able to recover from. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. Stephanie, I hope we've answered that question. We've got about 7 minutes. We want to take some of the comments that have come in. We want to give the first comment, in fact, to Rose. We're going to ask you to say bye, everyone. This first comment that comes in, let me go to Rose on this first comment. All right, here we go with the first comment. I'm trying to pull it up on the studio on the screen now. Lady says, my heart goes out to Beth because this is the same thing that happened to me in my marriage. It ultimately led to divorce because I was the one who cheated on my husband, who really was a faithful man to our marriage. I have so many regrets because it is never worth it. Rose, what do you think? She cheated on her husband, and then she ultimately came to the realization that it was never worth it. What do you think? Did guilt come in all of a sudden?
The good thing is that she learned from it, okay? And hopefully that would never happen to her again because she learned her lesson. But it is sad, and with wisdom, you know, maybe when she was younger, this when that happened to her, but now that she's probably older and wiser, she realized that mistake that she made, and I don't think that she would do it again. You know, at least hopefully, if she learned her lesson from it, she won't do it again.
Okay, let me go to let's bring in Mr. X. Mr. X, what do you say in a case like this here? She says, you know, hey, it's never worth it. Okay, we can't get Mr. X now. Let's go to Stephanie. Stephanie, let's bring you in. Could there be a time when it's worth it? I mean, if you're outside, venturing outside of your relationship, doesn't that seem to give you some peace of mind when you're liking things at home? Or is that just temporary? What do you think?
Oh, I'm sure it's just temporary. I'm sure it's temporary.
But it feels good at the time, don't you think?
Right. And also, I was going to say to you all in the audience, sometimes people are in it just to do it. They're not in it to get their feelings in it. So I don't know. You know, I heard a lot of the people talking about, people, when the relationship goes sour, or the man is no longer interested in the woman, or vice versa, you know, and then you hurt. But sometimes lately now, from what I see, I think people just do it just to do it. They don't really even get their feelings involved, you know. It's just called kicking. We're just kicking it. So, I'm not asking you to leave your wife. You're not asking me to leave my husband. Now, is it right? No, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that, you know, that also plays a part, because people are not interested in, you know, people leaving their spouses. They're just interested in, and then the thrill for the moment, and then they're going
right
on about their business until the next
right
time.
Until the next time.
I mean,
okay.
That's my thought. I'm just saying, that's what I know that's out there now.
All right. We're going to go to Angela for this next question. Angela, are you there?
Angela. Yes, Dr. Walker, I'm here. Yes, I'm
right
here.
This next comment comes to you. It says, I saw what cheating did to my best friend and his wife, and it made me realize I don't want any part of it. This is a guy who sends in this comment. What do you think makes him afraid to cheat? I mean, because cheating could be exciting.
What makes him what?
What makes him afraid that happened to his best friend and his wife? Now, he doesn't want any part of cheating. You think he's scared to cheat because, like Stephanie says, some people are putting their emotions into it, and you're just having a boy toy or a girl toy? You know, we just kicking it?
Dr. Walker, what I really think is that people still believe in the Bible, and that's where they're getting all of these thoughts from, I can't even think of the word that I'm trying to say, but people aren't honest with each other these days. And I've been on plenty of your shows. Right. And I've been on plenty of your shows where most of the callers probably would know the things that I went through. You've been with a person for so long, and sometimes you grow apart from that person. But the problem is people don't talk about it to each other. They're not talking to their significant other about how they feeling, the feelings that occur inside of them when they feel as though things aren't right. And they're afraid to bring up those conversations with their significant other because they don't want to hurt their significant other feelings. But you're going to hurt them anyway if you cheat. So why not talk to your significant other about the feelings that you have and what you're going through and deal with it? It's part of communication. And when we get that down pat, then things will be better. But we will find that other people will say, well, I wasn't brought up that way. And if you want to go out here and step out, then go ahead and leave. All right, fine. We had, you know, we can put options out there of what we can and cannot do. Now, is a person going to act on the options? That's up to the individual. But that person is going to end up cheating anyway. So I just think that people aren't honest with each other. They're not talking to each other. And that's why people step out and they cheat.
Okay. Do you think also, Angie, and we're clearly out of time. We're going to finish this in next week. But just one quick brief, if you can give me a brief response to this. Do you think that even a lot of the people who claim to be religious people or spiritual-minded people are people, do you think a lot of these people are also subject to, I mean, just not being honest, and they're doing the very thing that they, you know, trying to prejudge or preconceive other people and not doing?
Yes, I do believe that. The church is the biggest hypocrite of people sitting in there every day.
Okay. On that note, we're going to finish up this here next week. But let me just, before you all go, I want to ask at least three of you all, how would you define cheating? Let's start with you, Angela. How would you define cheating? Just in 12 seconds or less.
When you can't be honest with your significant other and one steps out because they can't talk to their significant other.
All right. Let's go to Mr. X. Mr. X, are you still with us?
Yes.
All right, Mr. X, tell us, how would you define cheating in 12 seconds or less?
Not being honest up front with your mate, and I agree with the young lady that just spoke. Just, you know,
okay.
You got to talk it out.
You got to talk it out. Okay, and you got to really be honest with yourself. You got to be honest with yourself, because if your feelings are just not there for your significant other, you need to be honest with that person because you owe it to them. I mean, that's an obligatory duty, I believe. Let's go and ask
Dr. Walker.
Rose. Yes.
I read this someplace. After the passion, then what?
Okay. That's my book. You're absolutely right, Mr. X. Thank you for that. Let's bring Stephanie in. Stephanie, give us your definition, and that'll close us out. What is your definition of cheating?
Well, cheating is, I do believe that it's wrong, but at the same time, I do believe that people need to be honest with one another, especially this day and age. If you're not happy in a marriage, you need to let your spouse know. If you're not happy in a relationship, let your significant know how you feel. And see, that is why most people cheat, is because the feelings are not real in the relationship.
But do you stay with it after you've told them how you feel? Okay, Jack and Jill, Jack doesn't love Jill anymore. Does he still stay there because he's kind of trying to avoid hurting Jill's feelings? But he's clearly letting her know, I don't love you anymore. So he elects to go out and cheat because Jill is madly in love with him. What does he do? He was honest with her. So now what?
Well, I mean, I guess they would have to talk it out and just maybe if, well, I'm sure that she would say, well, you don't love me anymore. I would rather for you to be with someone you love. I mean, that's how I would be to this day and age. I wouldn't even stay in a relationship if my husband don't love me anymore. I wouldn't. Because I don't want him to be happy, and I don't want to be unhappy. I don't want him to be unhappy, and I don't want to be unhappy.
People are not going to be honest. They want. Sometimes they do it for different reasons. Sometimes it's convenient. Sometimes it's comfort. And sometimes they just want to spare your feelings. Now, and that's why you find when a lot of people have cheated and they got caught and they're saying, oh, I'm so sorry. They're sorry because they got caught.
Caught,
they're,
right.
Basically, I think, and I can't speak for everybody, of course not. But my subjective opinion is they're sorry because they got caught. If they didn't get caught, because just like in this tonight's story, David was going from woman to woman, and he was lying to his woman. So people are not going to be basically honest. When these feelings start to disappear, and even your own relationship, in your relationships, all of us, we need to start doing and finding ways to rekindle that relationship. Otherwise, it could die out. And if it doesn't die out, I mean, if we don't do things to rekindle that, it can die out, and that's where the dangers come in. We're clearly out of time. The producers are threatening me right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue this next week. Join us Friday, tomorrow, for your half-hour inspirational program. If you choose to bypass Friday, join us back here live next Thursday, because the show has now temporarily moved to Thursdays. Join us next Thursday live for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, when the topic will once again be why cheating seems so deceptively good. Part two, and that should be the final chapter for this one here, and that show you don't want to miss. So join us either Friday or next to Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until then, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.